Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama. Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road.
Oh, it's Tuesday morning. Welcome into LA Catholic Morning. Ellen Taylor.
Write it down with a pen. Did you write it down?
Todd Sylvester. Mike Romano with Refall over there. It has been a morning so far.
Is it Friday yet? I'm going to turn into Ellen. Is it Friday yet?
I feel a little better today.
I need to walk my dog.
Yes, we. Oh, this is funny. So, well, first, happy birthday, Dad.
Hey!
Happy birthday,
on behalf of all my five sons. I wish you a happy birthday on air. Many blessings.
That's awesome.
Yes. I'm walking down by the bay yesterday afternoon, beautiful late afternoon, and Max and I are walking, and all of a sudden a big pack of St. Michael High School cross-country runners come down the path, and Max is like sitting there waiting like, please let somebody stop and pet me. And of course they didn't. They have in other previous trips, but as they're going by, I hear a, hey, Miss Ellen, going by, and I was like,
nice.
Oh, that's so south.
Oh, that's
love
great.
That. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, they must be practicing for something big. So.
Oh, yeah. It's cross-country season.
I know. So, good Tuesday. Todd has gotten every rant he had in him
I'm
off
done.
His shoulders.
Yeah. I'm done now.
Pens, buildings, gas, vehicles, living off
bookcase.
The grid, the bookcase.
Yeah, whatever.
We got a lot covered in this early show.
Why am I so whiny?
I don't know. St. Peter of Alcantara, if I said that right. Nobody knows, so I can say it any way I want. He was a confessor of St. Teresa Avila. He is the saint of the day today, and he was a great reformer. We need a lot of those. Father Driscoll's on the line.
Not yet.
Oh, well, I get
yet.
To pray. We're going to pray the morning offering in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen.
Amen.
In the name
Amen.
Of the Father, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Fast Signs, from business signage and vehicle graphics to festive yard signs and party banners. Fast Signs is here to help. Call the Fast Signs in Mobile or the Eastern Shore or visit fastsigns.com and like us on Facebook. More than fast, more than signs.
Headlines for Tuesday, October 26th. Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York said human rights begin in the womb. He said, I propose violence will not end until we stop the presumed untouchable radical abortion license that seems to have captivated a segment of our society. After 23 students were arrested in a string of violence, a group of fathers stepped up to the plate and formed Dads on Duty.
Love that story.
The dads take shifts at this high school in Shreveport, Louisiana. They maintain control and spread joy. A report from the Federal Reserve acknowledged that there are nationwide labor shortages and cited vaccine mandates as one of the factors making it difficult for employers to find workers. Governor Ron DeSantis said his police departments in Florida are actively recruiting out-of-state police officers who are in danger of losing their jobs because of vaccine mandates, which he said could cause ripple effects in the economy. In her second appearance before a national legislative body in less than a month, whistleblower Frances Haugen told British lawmakers Monday that Facebook is unquestionably stoking levels of hatred and addiction through its social platform. If people who smoke cigarettes quit by age 45, they could eliminate 87% of the increased cancer risk that face as smokers, according to a new study. And if they overcome the habit by age 35, their excess risk of cancer death is nearly erased. Two UN agencies warned Monday that a record number of people in Afghanistan are facing hunger this winter due to government instability in the war-scarred nation and economic sanctions related to the Taliban takeover. And a pair of Nike shoes worn by Michael Jordan during his rookie season with the Chicago Bulls sold for a record-breaking $1.47 million at a Las Vegas auction.
I guess.
I mean, they're nice shoes, I guess.
I know. If you got a spare million.
They're not Nike Airs because it was his rookie season.
I wonder if they were disinfectant, or are they still?
Stop. I mean, it's been decades since he's worn them.
I think so, but sometimes you get something out of that back of the closet, and you're like, wow.
No, no.
I don't know.
No. But $1.5 million. $1.5 million
for
shoes.
I mean, I
get it. Sports memorabilia. I even have a friend of mine that works full time in that, selling cards and things like that. Like, he sold a particular baseball card for $50,000. And I don't remember. Some people are going to text me right now and go, which player? I don't remember. Because to me, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But $50,000, and the people flew out to go pick it up, and it was, you know, this case that they had to put it in and the whole thing. I'm like, okay, it's a baseball card.
Each his own.
We always look forward to Tuesday mornings when Father Pat Driscoll, pastor of St. Dominic Parish, comes on to share his great wit and wisdom. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Todd. Wit and wisdom, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. In spades.
People love...
That's how you describe it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, should I prioritize? It would be wisdom and wit.
And
I mean, lightheartedness. There's a depth to
it. Yeah, I'll go with that. No, that was accurate.
Okay.
Like that?
I mean, I'd like to say it was. That's good. I'm flattered. Let me say that. I'm flattered by that description.
There you go.
Yeah.
People will oftentimes say it's important for us to surrender when in relationship to our relationship to God, but you know, the culture doesn't oftentimes support that. You know, never give up, never surrender, and they'll say. So it seems like there's kind of conflicting forces. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does make sense, yeah. And I think probably if we look at it, even within sacred scripture, there's the paradox, right? Because Paul talks about competing well for the faith, right? His athletic analogy. I compete well for the faith. And so you think, well, wait a minute, what's going on here, right? So even within that, but to the larger point you just made, that is certainly true. It seems antithetical to the world in which we live, but I think even within Christianity, it probably has to be placed properly, but to say, first of all, what you're talking about, surrender. I mean, because in our country, and it's a great one, we love that we live here, right? But there are challenges, and that whole sense of freedom misunderstood, is problematic, right? So freedom means that I can use my freedom well, or I can use it poorly, right? So freedom just isn't something that's there. It has to be defined. I mean, you and I and Ellen, we have opportunities to serve our Lord, and do we do that? Are we free to do that, right? Do we possess ourselves enough to be able to freely move toward the good or not, right? That's the true sense of freedom. So, I mean, that is kind of an offshoot of what we're talking about here with surrender. Am I my own God, or do I see that my happiness resides in being docile to the will of God? Where does my happiness lie? And modern man says it lies with me, right? Will to power, and technology is going to be what ultimately makes me happy, and all those things. So we would say, no, that's not true. It is precisely what you're talking about. We must surrender to God in order to get this whole thing started, right, of following him. So
we do have to immediately,
but at
though,
the same time, when we talk about that,
I was going to say we have to immediately recognize, Father Driscoll, the difficulty to this. I remember the first time I read in the School of the Holy Spirit by Father Jacques Philippe, who is incredible. And for anyone listening, you should buy that book and read it several times. It's just fantastic. But he talks about docility to the Holy Spirit and that whole aspect of surrender. And that's really hard. Some of us who are choleric temperaments, some of us who have control issues, it's just really hard to surrender, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're right. No question about that.
I think one of the points, though, to build on that is that surrender doesn't mean it gets taken away and disappears from our lives. And a lot of us, when we're like, oh, I surrender this to God, which really means, God, just take this away out of my life because it's causing me misery or discomfort or whatever. And that's not necessarily what surrender means.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, and that's where I think the paradox even within Christianity, right? It still means that I am, that I'm taking this proposal of Christianity seriously. And surrender might be that I'm going to go in one direction, but I want it to go in another direction. And, but when I do surrender, meaning that I'm seriously going to discern the will of God and I'm seriously going to do that in my life, it doesn't mean that my responsibilities go away, right? I still take them seriously. Whatever direction that I feel like I'm supposed to be going, I'm still, again, getting back to the athletic analogy with Paul, I'm still pursuing that with everything I have. Aided by God's grace, I'm pursuing that and trying to do that as best I can, trying to be his instrument. So you're right. It's not, you know, the Arabs have a saying, inshallah, right? If God wills it, I'll see you tomorrow, inshallah. But if you ask them, and it's, you know, Christians and Muslims alike, sometimes I can get lazy to like, well, it'll happen, inshallah. You know, that's not a proper understanding of docility, right? That's kind of what you're saying. I mean, it's not an excuse to be somehow lackadaisical in our response to the faith. It does say though that I'm putting my preferences aside and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to try to align myself with what God wants. And at the end of the day, we do know that, right, that's the most satisfying thing. I mean, it's not like following Christ is this awful proposal that just means that I'm constantly going to be miserable. At the end of the day, that's what's going to be most fulfilling for me. It's following the will of God. But sometimes there is something where it's me doing things that I don't prefer, or me recognizing that these are my preferences, but this doesn't seem to be where the God is pulling at my heart to go in this direction, right? And that, so whatever direction that we discern that God's telling us to go, it still is us pursuing it and being totally available to him, you know, as absolutely best we can. So,
but how do we figure out, Father? I mean, kind of steering this in another direction, possibly. But how do we figure out then what is God's will? Because I've talked to people that have come to me and they said, Todd, you know, I'm trying to discern this, and they're like, I have no idea what God wants me to do. I mean, they'll say, I've heard that time and time again. So if we're going to surrender to God's will, how do we figure out what the will is that we're supposed to surrender to, Father?
Yeah, and sometimes that's difficult. That's a difficult project. I even think of the priesthood. I mean, both of you probably know priests that say, "Oh, I just knew, you know, since day one, I need to be a priest, and it was great the whole time through." Right? Bumps in the road as far as difficulty or studying or problem with the relationships with my classmates, but I always knew, right? And other guys have just pulled their hair out. They're in. They're out. They're in. They're out. Whatever. So even within that small slice of Catholic life that is the priesthood, you see a wide variety. So I will say that, first of all, some people can quite easily, I don't say that they can, it's not that they've been given the skill, but in God in his providence has allowed some to quite easily see or drawn them quite easily and not put obstacles or anything like that in an interior. I say obstacles. But it's just made it clear to them, and others not. So there is an inconsistency sometimes, and I would fully acknowledge that. But discerning God's will, well, certainly, first of all, prayer has to be an important key to that, right? Because you have to put yourself before the Almighty and listen to what the voice of God is saying. But I would also say that voice is not limited to just my time in mental prayer, or putting myself, or the quiet time that I have in my life. It really is be listening to all those avenues in which God can speak. My dispositions, right? What am I disposed to? What are my inclinations? What are my natural gifts? And that's, we don't rely exclusively on those, but that whole portfolio of things to look at. In addition to okay, I'm in mental prayer now. Which do I feel most comfortable with? So I think it really is that you can't limit him to the way in which he speaks, or you shouldn't. We should be open to all those ways that God can speak to us. And even with that, it's still a difficult process sometimes. I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm just saying we have to be open to all those things. You know? But prayer, at least, is an important component, because it allows us to see things as God sees them, or, you know, again, aided by his grace, it's an opportunity for us to encounter him and just to see things how he sees them. Sometimes clearer for some than others, but that's what I would say.
Sometimes the process is part of the process, I think, too.
That just sounds funny.
I know, but it's
part of the process.
Yeah, but I love it. It sounds like a line from something. That's great. That's like a modern line. Yeah,
but if you think about it,
Nick Saban or something like that. Let's hear it.
Your need to go through a longer process in discerning God's will may be just what you need to embrace God's will. Yeah. Because you might not get it if it became clear to you after 5 minutes of prayer of what you're supposed to do. That whole process, it takes time. It takes time to let go, to give the control up while you're still doing things, working maybe perhaps on a pathway to both decisions, let's say, if you have a decision. But that whole process of time add something to you that maybe you would not have gotten if you had instantaneously known that after 5 minutes of prayer. And so this surrendering to God's will is, you know, a lifetime of giving him things in his hand. And when I said back at the beginning, surrendering doesn't mean it goes away. Maybe you find peace in how to live with it. Maybe your peace that you get from having to endure it brings peace to others in your family, in your community, and things like that. So the whole process is part of our learning and loving God and surrendering to God. That's all I got. That's my one profound moment for the day, Todd.
It was very profound.
No, that's good, Ellen. I think that's very good. No, there's got to be one. That's a great one. You're right, though. It is a continual process, and it's a lifestyle, right? So I'll go back to the priesthood. Okay, so you discern the priesthood. All right, well, it doesn't stop there, right? There's more opportunities where I could be selfish and do something versus being open to the will of God, even within that vocation, even within the avocation that I have. You're right. It really does have to be. It's a component of Christian living. It's not a one and done. It is a component of Christian living on a regular basis. You know, being docile to surrendering my will to His, to be in the unitive way, to desire the things that God desires. And I think that was one of the, I don't remember, I couldn't quote it verbatim, but the opening prayer last week, that we would desire his commandments, something along those lines. But it struck me that this is where we want to eventually get. I desire the things that God desires. Mm. But that does take a lot of work to get there, right? To desire the things that he desires, to constantly surrender my life to his, that's where we need to be with it.
Yeah, but
what does that look like? It doesn't look like I'm not going to do my job any better.
It's not that, Father. Yeah. The problem with me is it's a trust issue. I remember just saying, you know, there are those times that you just feel like God is speaking very clearly to you. And I was praying for a very specific intention, and God really spoke to me and said, do you want this even if it's not my will? And I'll tell you, I wanted to say yes. I wanted to say yes, because I'm like, well, God, you obviously don't understand that this is the best path. Like, this will be the best thing. You don't see the way I see. Like, you should get on board here, God. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, Father. That's ridiculous on my part.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. I mean, and maybe that's the lesson that Ellen's talking about, and getting back to that, you know, that I have to realize that that's not Christianity. That's not being a disciple of Jesus Christ. But you pose that question to yourself, and it's a helpful one, right? It is, because it's a corrective one. But that would be crazy for me to think that I would want this even if it's not God's will. I mean, we can put that on the table and say that right now. Isn't that crazy? Of course it is. But as a lived reality, you can easily slip into that if you're not careful of constantly discerning, right? Constantly surrendering. You could easily slip into that. And you wouldn't pose the question that you just posed. You would just do it. Ah, oh, I'm not even going to think about that because it's a great thing. I'm not going to think about that. And I think that tends to be what it is, right? Like, I'm just not going to think about that right now. I want to do this thing. And it's not, we don't necessarily mean a sinful thing, right? It might be something very good, but it's like, I'm going to get this thing fixed. I'm going to, Todd, you're a fixed guy. I'm going to get this thing fixed. I'm going to get this thing fixed before I do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Well, then maybe I'm supposed to back off and go do X, Y, and Z and then come back to it.
Right.
I mean, that's a small thing, but still, there's a surrender there.
It's the trap of the gospel of prosperity. Maybe what you were praying for would have made you prosperous in your eyes, and the world tells, and unfortunately, a lot of forms of Christianity. All the good things are going to get showered on you and all of that, but we realize, no, the world's full of suffering, and sometimes we just got to pick up the cross and carry it. And that's what being living a Christian life is. Father Driscoll, can we get a blessing before you leave?
Sure, Ellen. May Almighty God bless all who listen. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Father Driscoll.
Father Pat Driscoll, go see him at St. Dominic's.
Oh, you bet, Todd.
Yeah. Dan Burke's going to join the show next. We're going to talk about the retreat center at the Avila Institute. So stay with us here. LA Catholic Morning continues.
My heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay. Let me go home. I've had my run. Baby, I'm done. I gotta go home.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great's at the command center. Ripster's doing his thing over there. On the line, we have regular guest Dan Burke, who started the Avila Institute. You can connect with them at avila-institute.org. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. It's great to be with you guys.
Always, always a pleasure. I kind of geek out every time I talk to you because so much of what you've written has had such a positive effect on my life, and I'm really grateful for it, Dan. You're a tremendous gift to the church.
Means a lot to me. It's why we do it.
But you've continued to expand your ministry, and now you have a retreat center. What's going on, Dan?
Yeah, we didn't really have a home base, and we have a lot going on in terms of the Avila Institute and also the community of Apostoli Vie. So God just graced us with a beautiful property in Montgomery, Alabama, 60 acres. And it's a large home that we're converting into a retreat center. So we're working pretty hard getting it all cleaned up and all that.
And what's going to be going on once it's ready?
Well, we'll have, of course, retreats. It's a place where we'll do retreats, priestly formation, diaconate formation, spiritual direction. Hopefully in the future, we'll be able to build some facilities to have intensives, versions of our courses that we teach at the Avila Institute, just to help people to grow spiritually. So a lot of different opportunities, and we'll see where the Lord leads and which doors he opens first.
That's exciting because it's actually in our archdiocese here. So Todd's probably already making his plans to ride up the road to see what he need.
Here, I'll open an invite to you guys. We do formation second and fourth Saturdays, and usually about 300 people come, but not all locally. It's all over the world. But Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, so if you guys want to drive up, we'd love to have you.
Man, that sounds awesome.
Oh, wow. So the retreat center, or the property is open, and you're using it already?
Yeah. Okay. Stephanie and I moved here, and there's some others who are also living here in the community and who work for the Avila Institute. So, yeah, we're already, it's working. We have a lot of work to do to get it, I would say, grand opening level, if you will. But yeah, there's already, we actually had a dedication on the feast of St. Teresa of Avila on October 15th. We had about 65 people here, and we, prayed the rosary around the lake. There's a 16-acre lake, and the priest blessed everything in sight. It's funny because when it was all over, he said, I love being around people who want a priest to be a priest. And as well, we're certainly that group of people. So it was a really beautiful time.
When you use the word retreat, though, Dan, I think the definition in people's minds can vary vastly.
Yeah.
A lot of people are thinking, oh, teenage retreat, you know, there's a ropes course and and there's muddy games and things like that. Or they're thinking back to the 70s when they went on a retreat and the next thing you know, they were making a little warm fuzzy with yarn.
Right.
And,
yeah.
and they're like, why are we here type thing. So what kind, when you say retreat, what do you mean is going to be going on there, Dan?
So we have a sign up in front that says no yarn allowed.
No yarn, no yoga.
We have a bunch of signs. No yoga, no transcendental meditation. No, I mean, it's first and foremost, it's a semi-monastic kind of world. It's very quiet here. We're actually breaking grand silence right now, which is from 9 p.m. to 8 a.m. So there's, you know, prayer all day. We pray the liturgy of the hours. So that if you came here, Todd, you'd experience a lot of silence and peace. And then we'll have, so there's non-programmed retreat, which means you come and pray and in quiet. And then there'll be programmed retreats, which will be more specific kinds of formation and spiritual care for people. I think we have a group of priests who'll be coming in next year. We'll be seeking formation on deliverance ministry, that sort of thing. So it'll be across the spectrum, all about how to grow in union with God in various, in the many ways and many pathways that He reveals through the church.
How do people find out more specifics on the retreat?
You know, it's interesting. We don't have a website or plan to put a website up, but probably the easiest way to find out more is apostolyva.org through our community. And I think eventually we'll have a page there. In that site, we do have a subpage, if you will, where we have photos and we have pictures of the projects and things that we're cleaning up and different aspects of the progress. So, folks, that's probably where the most information is at apostolyviae.org.
And I'm sure people are listening right now going, all right, Dan, I want to get on board. I want to be a part of this. Because there's always a stirring in our heart. Whenever you say quiet, because how many of us have any quiet time during any part of the day, Dan? Any at all?
I don't know. And you're yelling. I don't get that. But
welcome to my world, Dan.
I'm sorry. It's frustrating Tuesday.
There's no yelling at the Institute.
There is no yelling at Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Grand silence. Right. Grand silence.
Yeah, no, I mean, join the website, which you'll be blessed by. There's a lot of free formation in the community website. And then, it's really about, you know, learning and teaching all that we do, which is fundamentally how do we encounter God and how do we get away? You know, if retreat is important because if you live every day the same way that you did the day before, you get stuck in cycles and you become, blind to what's going on. The same reason pilgrimages are important. And so going to a retreat once a year or twice a year, going to a marriage retreat or a prayer retreat or whatever, breaks the cycle of the patterns and wakes you up to things within you that may have been dormant or not there for a long time, reveals new things. So we have miles of walking trails here. The lake itself is one full rosary is about the lake walk, so it's pretty big. But not too big. So just a lot of opportunity to be at peace.
Amen. All right. Can I ask the dad question?
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
got money.
Exactly. Yeah, what's the cost?
Yeah. The cost. Well, I don't deal with money.
I know.
My team is always chiding me that I give everything away. We're not really doing it for money. So it's not like here, pay and you get to come. Certainly there'll be some of that. But you know, Todd, if you reached out or either of you and said, hey, I want to come stay, you could come and then offer a donation or whatever you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. I love Dan.
Nice. Burke. What is this Apostolyva? You mentioned that website. Is that a group?
Apostolyva is a private association of the faithful, and our mission is to really help people understand what it means to live the contemplative life. So those who are members of the site, which is all free and everything in it is free, get regular formation on living the contemplative life. And we have priests, religious, and laity who are part of it all over the world. And we just constantly, it's a way, you know, you guys are aware of like spiritualdirection.com and the Abel Institute. If you will, it's the more intimate, deep content. It's the deepest, most intimate content we have because people are involved with one another. So we have study groups all over the world and, you know, people who are helping each other to heaven. So that's probably a good way of understanding it.
Absolutely brilliant.
Can you give me the website again? Apostole, what was it?
APOSTOLIVIAE.org. ApostoliVA.org. And it means apostles of the way. So it just means that we're sent by God to reveal the way, if you will, like all of us are actually. And, so I think if you join it and check it out, I know you'll enjoy it. As long as you get through the orientation, you can make it through that, then you'll be blessed by it.
Well, what's incredible, Dan, is just how intentional this is. Like it seems like you've got a piece of Carmel there in Montgomery now.
I mean, I hope so. That's really our heart is, Carmelite spirituality is at our heart, center of what we do. And it really is, all of the spiritualities are beautiful and good in the church, of course, but each reveals a different facet of the diamond that is God's, drawing each of us to union with him. And so Carmelite spirituality, the emphasis is asking and answering the question, what does it mean to be in union with God? What does it mean to draw every day ever more deeply to prayer and to love him and to love those he's placed in our care? So that's really what we're all about. So the center is about leading people that way, Apostle VA, everything we do, really, spiritualdirection.com, Avila Institute.
And it's so necessary today. Recently, we had the blessing of going on a family vacation. Mm-hmm. And one of the few times where we kind of just forget the bank account and we're like, let's go to dinner. You know, so we all go to dinner. And one of the things that we do, and we're not trying to put on a show, Dan, but we say grace before meal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just kind of humbly, you know, bowing our heads, holding hands, saying grace. Well, we look up, it's a very small restaurant, and we see another table and they're all bowed. And we're like, oh, this is wonderful. They're saying grace.
Yeah.
And then we realize, that's a long grace. Like, wow, those people are really praying. Like, wow, that's intense. Come to turn out, they're all looking at their phones.
Oh, I thought you were going to have
they weren't praying at all.
He really tricked us. Didn't
They were all staring at their phones. They put their phones, I guess, down in their laps, and they were all looking at something. And I thought, Dan, this world needs some prayer, don't we?
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. You know, I think nobody, I mean, anyone who's awake knows that it's getting darker and darker and more difficult. And the answer, the only way we're going to make it through this, and I'm not just surviving, but thriving, is to draw near to God and to know Jesus and to live for him. And, you know, given our age, the ages of each of us, I suspect we have a high chance of leaving the world higher chance of martyrdom than probably COVID, but the way that we face the storm in peace and joy is drawing near to God, and that's what it's all about anyway, right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are those people that are listening right now that are going, really, Dan, I know you're going to try to say, hey, you got to break out of this mindset. But I do talk to individuals who are like, I just can't even imagine trying to fit in a retreat anywhere, anytime. But I want what you're talking about. And I want kind of that peace that is exuding right now from the radio. So how do they get in touch with that initially, Dan?
You know, I think so. I wrote a book called Into the Deep, Finding Peace Through Prayer. I think that's the beginning place. When folks say that, and I'm not judging at all, I'm not condemning. When folks say that, their lives are not properly ordered to God, and they won't find the peace they desire. And so how do you, well, like, what's the first step in? It's just beginning daily mental prayer. It's beginning to spend time with Jesus in the Gospels. Of course, sacramentally, you've got to be on the right page. You can't be living in mortal sin, habitual mortal sin. So you've got to make sure you're at Mass on Sunday and reconciliation like once a month. But you get those things in place. You start daily mental prayer. I think things will start opening up for you. You'll start looking at things a little differently. And look, here's the thing. Start hanging out with people who are living a deeper kind of life as well. Join us over at Apostoli VA. You can sit in your living room and get formation second and fourth Saturdays. And maybe that'll stir in your heart some insights into how you can reorder your world. Because until you do that deliberately, you'll never really find the peace that the Lord has for you. Because unless we're aligned with Him, we're not receiving all the grace He has. We're not receiving all the joy that He has to give us and all the goodness. So when we begin to pursue Him and take a step forward, He's always very kind and very loving and gracious. And He says, great, good, this is good. Now let me show you the next step.
Mm-hmm. Man, Dan, you're awesome.
Well, just hearing Dan, the tone of your voice, I mean, to listen to you, Dan, you can sense the peace that you have.
It comes from a place of prayer.
Right, and just going through the websites, just the magnitude of this project and having it come together, that's, you know, it has to be led by prayer. And so, Dan, thank you. I'm like thinking of a field trip up there for the morning show staff.
I'm yeah. serious. We'd yeah. love to have you guys, and we'll feed you and put you up the room.
Oh, look at that. Oh, Todd raised his hand, Dan. You're good. Dan Burke, thanks for joining us. I guess it's spiritualdirection.org, apostolivia.org, so many good places, but just Google the Avila Institute and you can get to it all. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, thank you, guys. God bless you. Mm.
Golly, that sounds awesome.
Look at you. Now you're going to be, when are we putting it on the calendar, Ellen? Christine Wilkins is going to join us next. Awakening at Lourdes. We're going to talk to her about her experience here on LA Catholic Morning.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester here with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great, you got something to give away.
Yes, we are giving away 5 tickets to the upcoming film Purgatory for the October 28th screening. That's this Thursday at the AMC Jubilee Square in Daphne. So just go ahead and send in your email to
text
in your to the text line. 251-928-2111. Again, 251-928-2111. The first 5 people to text us their email address will get
there's 5 tickets total.
Yeah, there's 5
though,
tickets total. So the first 5, yeah.
You don't want to go yourself.
No. So anyway, just text that to 251-928-2111. And again, this is the film Purgatory, and it will be at the AMC Jubilee Square in Daphne.
Cool. We have with us on the line Christy Wilkins, here to speak to us about her book, Awakening at Lourdes, How an Unanswered Prayer Healed Our Family and Restored Our Faith. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning.
So this book, normally people talk about miracles, and that's where the attention goes. And you're saying this was an unanswered prayer. I think we need to, I guess, dial it back and figure out, tell us about Oscar, his story, and what originally brought you to Lourdes in the first place.
Sure. So Oscar is our youngest child of 6, and my pregnancy and delivery with him were completely typical, but at the age of 5 months, he began having seizures. He actually had his first seizure on my lap at a retreat surrounded by nuns. He had his second seizure at Mass in the middle of the consecration.
Wow.
So it was very clear from the beginning that God was going to be working and moving very strongly in Oscar's life. So for the next 12 months, we worked at home to do everything we could medically for him to try to control the seizures. And even after the seizures are controlled, it was clear that he was going to be facing some lifelong disabilities. And, you know, obviously I love my children. I love the children that God sends me, but I really struggled with this diagnosis and this prognosis for our child. So the prayer that I brought to Lourdes, and it's a prayer that I had already prayed at home, was, God, please heal my son. Please take this cross from him. Please take this cross from our family. And that's the prayer that was unanswered, or at least unanswered in the way that I expected it to be answered. But if you read the book, you'll find out that God had a lot of other answers for me that I really didn't expect.
Mm-hmm. That's still got to be so hard. As a parent, that's so difficult. You just want health and well-being for your children. So, I mean, that first time the child had a seizure and you're on a retreat, I mean, what were you thinking right then, Christy?
Honestly, I wasn't. It's interesting. It was a retreat for Mother's Day weekend, and I was there with my own mother, and I was surrounded by many friends from the local community and all of these nuns. And we had just finished praying Vespers, and so in a way I was thinking, like, okay, God is taking care of us in this moment. And it didn't seem like an emergency right away. I remember we were out of cell phone range. We were really far from the hospital, and so we packed up and started heading back into town, and I called the pediatrician, and it wasn't until I spoke to the pediatrician, this was after hours, they called me back immediately, and I could hear the concern in her voice, mm-hmm. that I started to think, like, oh, okay, maybe this is something big that I do need to be worried about. But even that first hospital visit, they sent us home and said, you know, often a child will have one seizure and never have another one. Don't worry. Everything looks great. He's totally fine. I hope we never see you again. Mm-hmm. And that was really the message that our doctors were trying to give us for months and months at every turn is, oh, it's probably going to be fine. We'll try this. It's probably going to be fine. We'll try that. And at every turn, we just got taken deeper and deeper into this labyrinth of bad outcomes and the wrong end of the statistics. And that was really challenging for me. I had considered myself a very faithful and devout Catholic until that point. And we had been through a lot of really difficult trials in our marriage and in our family, but this was just, it was next level. It was unlike anything I had ever experienced. And it was my child. You know, I think I could have handled it better if it had been me or even my husband, but watching this innocent little baby suffer like this, really brought me to my knees and brought me to the utter end of my faith.
Mm-hmm. It's just, and you can hear the love and the compassion in your voice, but also so many of us, it's easy to be faithful when things are going for the most part well. There's food mm-hmm. on the table, mm-hmm. the kids are healthy, your husband has a job, your family's intact. It's those moments where things aren't in the perfect sphere, where, you know, our faith, the rubber meets the road. And so how do we yeah. respond to it? And I know in sharing this story, and for our listeners, it's called Awakening at Lourdes, How an Unanswered Prayer Healed Our Family. And Christy Wilkins is the author. But the thing is that we kind of lose sight of is how do we get through that then? So if people read your book, what kind of insights can mm-hmm. they get for their own healing of unanswered prayers?
Sure. I have two really important things to say about that. One is that, well, I guess three. One is to be clear, I really didn't handle it well for a long time. I had a lot of despair. I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of resentment in my heart. And I brought all of that to Lourdes with me. And so I want to acknowledge for the people who are going through something really hard right now and who are suffering that that's a very natural response to have. And it's not a sin. It's not wrong to have those feelings. And it's not wrong to bring those feelings to God. He can take it. But the one thing that I did do right out of all the things that I'm quite sure that I did wrong was to really try to hold on to that last grain of faith that I had. So I tell my kids and I tell my friends here in Austin, like, the one thing that I did right was to not walk away entirely. You know, I stayed going to Mass and I kept trying to receive the sacraments, and my heart was not in it and I was full of anger, but I stayed and I kept turning back to God every time when I felt like I couldn't anymore. And so I think there's really a lot of grace to be found in that moment where you're suffering so deeply that you feel like you're ready to give up, and you turn back to God one more time and say, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay,
Amen.
God, if this is what you have for me in this moment, I'm going to stay here in this moment with you. I don't like it. I'm not going to like it, but I'm here with you. That's a really powerful prayer. And God treasures those efforts, even if they feel kind of half-hearted or small in the moment. The other thing, and this was so important to my faith journey, is that there were a lot of times when I really couldn't pray for myself anymore, and my community was there holding up my arms, holding our family in prayer, trying to take care of us. And there was a long learning, a pretty steep learning curve there for me in learning to accept those prayers and to accept that love and to accept all the gifts that our family was being offered, because I wanted the one gift. I wanted my son to be healed. But what I learned in Lourdes was to look for all the other ways that God was answering so many other prayers, mostly using the hands and the feet of the people around us.
Now, at what point in time did you plan the trip to Lourdes? Like, how old was Oscar?
Sure. So, like I said, he started having seizures when he was 5 months old. And by the time he was about a year old, we had pretty good control over the seizures. And we applied for the pilgrimage in December of 2016, so right around his first birthday. And we heard right around the time of the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes in 2017 that he had been accepted. And so when we took the pilgrimage, he was almost 18 months old.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about it. What happened?
So we traveled from Austin to New York City, and the way that the pilgrimage works, this is sponsored by the Order of Malta, and there are three different associations in the United States. We went with the American Association, which is based in New York, and each association brings about 50 malads, that's their word for the sick pilgrims that they're bringing, and then they assemble a truly amazing team of doctors and nurses and clergy and volunteers and members of the order. So for the 50 malads, they bring about 350 team members to take care of them,
wow.
Including a lot of really highly trained medical staff. And so we spent about 7 days in Lourdes, and we did all of the Lourdes pilgrimage highlights. So from the very first day we were on the ground, we were doing things like going to the baths and receiving anointing of the sick and having mass in the grotto. And it was just a really a powerful experience, and we were kind of shepherded along at every step of the way so that we didn't have to make any decisions for ourselves. And that was a really beautiful community moment. You know, as I said earlier, it was really important for me to learn to accept the gifts that the community was offering. One of the greatest gifts of that pilgrimage was not having to be in charge of anything for a little while, because as you can imagine, our lives at home with six kids and medical complexity was really complicated and hard to manage. And so to have that burden lifted for a week, that in and of itself was very healing. The medical team took tremendous care of us. Oscar actually had a couple of crises, one right before we got on the plane and then another one while we were in Lourdes. And the way that the team responded to those was so healing. And by the time we came home, all of my anger and resentment and mistrust had been healed. My husband and I experienced great healing in our marriage, and it turned out Oscar actually did experience some very real physical healing. Every one of his doctors noticed immediately that he was different. And just like so many healings in the Bible, that physical healing was pointing back to something deeper that had happened spiritually in my heart and in our family and in our marriage.
Wow.
That sounds so good.
Now I'm going to go get the book from Mike and finish reading it. It's a beautiful testimony. We all kind of want things done our way. And we've been, actually, that's been kind of the theme on our guests on the show today. And it turns out it's not our way. It's God's way and God's plan. And we go along with it, and we're open to it and embrace what that is, even if we don't fully want to embrace it, I think.
And I know we're low on time here, Christy, but what were your expectations when you were going to Lourdes? I'm just curious.
I really tried not to bring any, but I would be lying if I didn't say maybe our family will be that one in a million who gets the big miracle, you know, like, and I describe in the book my experience in the baths, which was frankly very disappointing and upsetting. Like I didn't want to be that person who was like, come on, just heal my kid. Like, let's, you know, I want him to stand up and start talking and walking. But there was a part of me that did want that. And once that didn't happen, I didn't really know what to expect anymore. I didn't know why we were there. I didn't see what God could possibly have for us. And he just redeemed all of that and surprised me in so many ways. Clearly there's not time to talk about them in a 15-minute radio show, but I hope people will read the book and know that even if God isn't answering your prayer the way that you so desperately hope he will, He has other answers for you. He has other blessings for you. He is still moving and working in your life.
Yeah. And I would say that I don't think it was an unanswered prayer specifically. It was just not answered in exactly the way that you necessarily
right.
were asking mm-hmm. or wanted. Right. And as we grow in faith more and more in my life, Christy, I just kind of say to God, you know, whatever you want. Whatever you want.
Yeah. Just. But it's taken you a while to get there.
I'm not there.
No.
Do not say I'm there. I am not there. I'm just trying it on this journey. Again, the book is Awakening at Lourdes, How an Unanswered Prayer Healed Our Family and Restored Our Faith by Christy Wilkins. You can get this book wherever you get great Catholic books. Christy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful.
What a good testament to just faith and then living through it and coming out the other side and loving God even more.
I know.
That's
beautiful.
Really beautiful.
Beautiful.
We thank our sponsor, Cromwell & Associates, a non-traditional law firm that focuses on estate and business planning. Cromwell & Associates can be reached at 251-605-9075. Or visit cromwell.associates. Mikey, tomorrow's Wednesday. What do we got?
Tomorrow, Tom Riello talks about the identity crisis going on at Notre Dame. We'll talk with Mary Young and the president of the Cope Pregnancy Center. And we'll also talk with Peter Jesser Smith about his article on the Synod. And don't forget to send in your text line with your email address to get a ticket to the film Purgatory, taking place on Thursday, October 28th at the AMC Jubilee Square in Daphne. Again, that's 251-928-2111 to get a ticket.
What you got going on today, Alan?
Oh, post-pledge drive analysis meetings. Dad's birthday dinner.
That sounds great. Oh, yeah. Dad's birthday dinner!
Yes. So, yeah, nobody's cooking tonight in our house.
Awesome.
Going out to eat, except Max, who will be highly disappointed.
Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.